For tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Wednesday afternoon, July the 8th, 1998. Fourth of July week family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Noe of Salina, Kansas, is the teacher of the afternoon.
Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just thank you and we praise you and we bless you and we glorify you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come together and share your word, Lord. Lord, we just praise you and bless you, Lord. We ask you to make it alive, Lord God, to make your word alive, Lord God. For the word of God is living and live and sharper than any two-edged sword. For your words are alive, Lord God, and they are truth. Oh, Lord, and they go down, Lord, and convict the heart. And break the rock, Lord God. Lord, just let your word go forth this night, this day, Lord God. The word that you've chosen, Lord God, to touch your people. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. The Lord said he wanted me to talk about witchcraft, but then he didn't tell me exactly which portion of witchcraft he wanted me to talk about. Because, you know, I talked about witchcraft for several hours. I talked about divination at the last camp meeting. And so today we're going to look at witchcraft. We're going to start by looking at a word that's very common to us. It's magic. When most of us think of magic, we think of the sleight of hand artist who comes to children's birthday parties and pulls rabbits out of hats and pulls handkerchiefs out and so forth. There's nothing really supernatural about it. They have tricks, and they have the way to do this, and they're sleight-of-hand artists, and they're tricksters. But we're talking about supernatural magic. Now, Webster's Dictionary defines magic. Magic is defined by Webster's New World Dictionary. It says the use of charms, spells, and rituals in seeking to control people or cause or control events, or govern certain supernatural or natural forces. That's one. That's the first definition of magic in Webster's Dictionary. Now, it is divided into three parts. It's divided first into divination. And divination speaks of knowledge of the future. It speaks of supernatural impartation of knowledge. It is the counterfeit of the word of knowledge, a gift of the Holy Spirit. Now remember that for every gift of the Holy Spirit, there is a supernatural counterfeit. And divination is the counterfeit of the word of knowledge. We will move on from that. There's a tape back there that runs an hour and a half on divination. And we won't hold that road today. And we'll move on and we'll say, where in the Bible does it say that there's such a thing as magic? Well, let's go on and finish defining it first. First is sorcery. Sorcery implies magic when spells are cast and charms are used. Also, drugs, potions, musical elements, a talisman are used to achieve the desired end. Now, a talisman is something such as a ring or a stone bearing an engraved figure or symbols that's supposed to bring good fortune or to keep away evil. Now, I used to have a talisman that I carried with me all the time. It was about this big around, and it was silver, and it had a picture of a man with a staff. And it was supposed to protect me when I got in my car or when I traveled. And you see it quite frequently. There's a this a transportation industry that hauls little children to Christian schools, and it's called St. Christopher's Transportation System. And they all got one of these little talismans in it. Not depend upon God, they depend upon this metal that has a picture of a dead person on it. There are other talismans that you can use, like a four-leaf clover, or wishbone, or rabbit bone. And then there are all kind of things that have come from the occult that are called talismans that are supposed to be good luck charms. In case you're interested, luck is the Egyptian god of good fortune out of the Babylonian system. And so, don't wish people good luck. I mean, you're wishing a foreign god on them. I have tried to eliminate that word from my vocabulary.
Doc, isn't the root Lucifer?
I don't know the answer to that question. Okay, so that's sorcery. Sorcery also uses drugs and potions. Now, the Greek word defined sorcery is pharmakomicha. I'm slaughtered the Greek a little bit there. But it's the word from which we get our modern word pharmacy. It uses music. Missionaries will tell you that some of the beats they hear in rock music are the same beats that the witch doctor uses to call up the demons. And all these people speak of Christian rock. And I say, well, yes, but I put that in about the same class that I put Christian pornography. And they get offended at me. They get offended. And they say, well, they talk about these boys have all these people have all these wonderful testimonies. And I say, yeah, doesn't it say that even the elect will be come with lying wonders? And even the elect, if it were possible, might be deceived. So we leave sorcery, and the other division is witchcraft for women and wizardry for men. Now, this implies the possession of supernatural power by compact with evil spirits. Witchcraft, by definition, means that you have made a contract with an evil spirit. Now, you might make a contract and not know it. You know, if the devil came in a red suit with a forked tail and a red pitchfork, he wouldn't get very many converts. But he's a master of disguise, and the Bible says he comes as an angel of light and disguises his emissaries as agents of righteousness. Let's look at that. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. So that you will see this in the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. For such are false apostles. There we got the apostle, someone sent for with a message. That's that kid with that's the rock music musician who's giving his testimony. A false apostle. Deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. And so now we will go on to witchcraft. And witchcraft, you can make a contract with an evil spirit when you open yourself up to rebellion. Well, let's look at where it says magic is used in the Bible. Let's look first at Ezekiel chapter 13. Now, here in Ezekiel is a description of some false prophetesses, people who were claiming to be prophets of God. Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 17. Likewise, son, set your face against the daughters of your people who prophesy out of their own heart. Prophesy against them. Thus says the Lord God, woe to the women who sew magic charms on their sleeves and make veils on the head of the people of every height to hunt souls. Will you hunt souls of my people to keep yourself alive? And so they were accepting money. Will you profane me among my people for handfuls of barley and pieces of bread? Killing people. Okay, they were killing people who should not die and keeping people alive who should not live. And so they were actually had a healing ministry. Have anybody ever heard of anybody with witchcraft having a healing ministry? Have you ever heard of the Church of the Christian Scientist, which is neither Christian nor scientific? It is witchcraft. It's a spiritualist church, but people can get, quote, healed there, unquote. My friends in the mission field tell me that if they ever have one of their elders who goes to the witch doctor for healing, he gets sick and he comes to church and he prays and he gets discouraged waiting on God, he goes to the witch doctor and he gets healed. He's never able to exercise faith again. I mean, he will fall away from the church. Why? Because an evil spirit came into him. An evil Antichrist spirit came into him when the witch doctor ministered to him. I had a friend who used to minister a great deal to people out that came out of Christian Scientists. And he said if they'd ever had a real notable healing, that they had to renounce the healing before he could get them saved. He had people who really wanted to come to Christ, but they just could not exercise faith. And when you get them to renounce the healing, then they could get saved. Now, I have not experienced that myself, but he gave a very strong witness for it and issued several cases in which he had done, which this had occurred. But that a strong spirit deception, a strong Antichrist spirit will come into them. And he thinks he owns them and stops them from being able to exercise faith. You see this a lot with people who want to come into the fullness of the gospel. And they've been in a strong legalistic church in which they are taught that speaking in tongues is of the devil. And you try to get those people baptized in the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in tongues, and it, until they renounce that denominational spirit and you cast it out, they just cannot exercise the faith necessary to yield their body to the Holy Spirit. They just have a lack of faith. They can't do it. I have my own floor, so I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. It won't happen. It won't happen. It won't happen. And you know you're talking to a demon. Well, praise God. Okay. I don't know how I got off on that. But here they keep people alive. And you were killing people. Okay. Keeping people alive. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm against your magic charms, which you hunt souls like flying things. I will tear them from your arms and let the souls go, the souls you hunt like flying things. I will also tear off your veils and deliver my people out of your hand, and they shall no longer be your prey, then you'll know that I am the God. I mean, here we have a case of magic. Okay? Now let's look at Nahum. Nahum is a very small book. After Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. Nahum was after Nahum. After Micah. Nahum chapter 3. And here, this is a prophecy of destruction to Nineveh, the capital of the Assyrians. And says, chapter 3, verse 4, it says to the Assyrians, because of the multitude of your harlotries, of the seductive harlot, the mystery of sorceries, who sells nations through her harlotries and families through her sorceries. Here's a country that was so steeped in the occult, they were actually able to sell nations because of the occult practices. Babylon, the occult reached its pinnacle at Babylon. Let's look at it, go back to Ezekiel 21. Ezekiel 21:21 says, the king of Babylon stands at the parting of the road, at the fork of the two roads, and he uses divination. He shakes the arrows, consults the images, look at the river. What he's doing is using a magic art to decide which city to go and conquer. Chapter 21, Ezekiel chapter 21, verse 21. Those are three of a number of scriptures in the Bible in which magic shows you the use of magic, the supernatural, apart from the Holy Spirit. I've had people come up and talk to me about and tell me all the tricks that the tricksters use when I start talking about the use of familiar spirits. And they'll come up and tell me all the tricks that the tricksters use to imitate. And I said, that's true. There are a lot of tricksters. There are a lot of tricksters out there. A lot of sleight of arm. But there's a true thing, too, because I've seen it. I've seen people die from witchcraft. I've seen two people die in my lifetime from having curses placed on them. One when I was a little boy and lived on a cotton farm in Alabama. The witch doctor who lived down the road put the curse on this girl. He shook the box out of her, and she died in 2 days. When I was a physician and came back and visited, one of my friends asked me to see a girl in the hospital in consultation. I looked at her, and I talked to the family. She'd had the hex put on her by the hoodoo. And my advice to them was to sell everything they own and go pay the hoodoo to take it off. I wasn't saved at the time, but I remember this other instance when I was a youth. My advice to them, and the hoodoo wanted too much money, and the girl died. We posted the body, did an autopsy, sent the body off for toxicology, checked it every way we could think of. We could find no poison, no evidence of foul play. She just died. She was a healthy 21-year-old girl, and she rolled up, balled up in a ball, and died in 2 days from witchcraft, people. Don't think that the witchcraft does not have power. Talk to any missionary who's been to New Guinea, and they will tell you that witchcraft has power. Fortunately, there's a greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And you don't have to come under the power of the witch. You don't have to. You can, but you don't have to. Now, there are lots of different, I'm going to talk to you about the different type. Witchcraft is forbidden in the Bible. Now let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Now here we see the best list of the occult. Deuteronomy 18:9. When you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn of all the abominations of those nations. Abominations are detestable acts. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire. That's child sacrifice to Moloch or Shamus. Or one who practices witchcraft. Or a soothsayer. Or interprets omens. Or a sorcerer. A one who conjures spells. That's a hypnotist. You people have been hypnotized? Ever been hypnotized? A hypnotist is someone who has a familiar spirit. And you submit your will to him and he will place that spirit on you. And you allow that spirit to come into you and take control of your body. And then he can do strange things with your body. But he allows that spirit to come into you. And it's used as stage tricks and all sorts of things. But I say to you, when you do that, you pick up a familiar spirit that stays with you. And he can cause you migraine headaches later, maybe give you cancer. He can invite other things in. This can cause you all kind of problems. You got a demon in you, if you want to be honest. All right. One who conjures spells, a medium. That's somebody who has a familiar spirit that comes and talks through you. That's using divination. A spiritualist. Got spiritualist churches. One who calls up the dead. That's a necromancer. That's somebody who's calling, worshiping an ancestor. Ancestor worship. Praying to dead folks. Asking dead folks to do things for you. It's wrong to pray dead people. People, it's forbidden by the Scripture of God. Now, what does God say? The next verse I want all of y'all to look at. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. Understand that. These acts are abominations to God, but when you do them, you become an abomination. That's what it says. All who do these are an abomination to God. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. And he goes on down to verse 15. The Lord your God will raise up from you a prophet like me from your midst of your brethren, and him you shall hear. You say, this is all Old Testament, Doc. Well, I want you to look at that statement. And then I want you to turn to Acts chapter 7. And here Stephen, in his testimony, speaks of this. Acts chapter 7, verse 37. This is what Moses said to you, children of Israel. The prophet your God will raise up to you a prophet like me, whom your brother shall hear. Here he says, in Acts 3:22, Peter said the same thing. We won't go there and read it, but I'll tell you it's Acts 3:22. Now you have to be careful with that verse, because the Muslims will tell you that that prophet is Muhammad. They will use this verse and tell you that the prophet spoken of there is Muhammad. They will tell you that Muhammad, that Islam is spoken of in your Bible, and they will turn to this verse and show it to you and say, there's the prophet, Muhammad. Now, you remember they came to John the Baptist, and they said, are you Elijah? Are you the prophet? He said, no, I am not. But Stephen, Peter says, Jesus Christ fulfilled this prophecy. So to him you will turn, not to the medium, not to the card layer, not to the crystal ball gazer, not to the psychic healer on the corner, but to Jesus Christ. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, Samuel 15, 22 to 23. I want you to turn there. And there's a scripture that you're all familiar with, but I want you to see it. 1 Samuel 15, verses 23. 22 and 23. And here, Saul had been sent by God to completely destroy the Amalekites. And he did not. He saved the king. He saved the best. He didn't kill them all. He kept the best. And so Samuel showed up. And Saul said, I have done the will of God. And he said, have you done the will of God? What's the king of the Amalekites doing sitting over there in a cage? What's this lowing of cows and blading of sheep I hear? And then this is what he said. And Saul blamed it on the people. He said, not my fault, it's those folks' fault. He said they swooped in and took the best of the plunder. He said, I tried to make them do right, but I was scared of them. They threatened me, so I let them have it. I mean, he blamed it. He passed it all, and you'll find that. But anyway, Samuel said in verse 22, has the Lord a greater delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of God? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifices, to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is an iniquity and idolatry. Okay. When you are rebellious, you're using witchcraft, because rebellion is to impose your will on others. Whenever you try to impose your will on someone else, make them do it your way, to control people or supernatural events. And so when you try to control people, then you're using witchcraft. Now, I had a young man, he came to me for deliverance, took him through deliverance. He told me he was going with this very fine young Christian girl. And he wanted to marry him. He said, will you agree with me in prayer? And I said, what do you want me to agree to? Well, I want you to stand with me and agree. I said, that's fine, but first tell me what we're going to pray about. He said, I want God to make her so restless that she can't sleep till she marries me. I said, well, that's witchcraft. That's trying to impose your will on her to force her to marry you. I said, you know better than that's no better than the young man that went to the hoodoo and said, I want the young girl went to the hoodoo and said, I want this boy to marry me. And the hoodoo said, bring in some one of your menstrual cloths. And so he took some of the blood of the menstrual cloth and put it in a potion with some other stuff and said, dump this in his coffee and give it to him to drink. And he did. She did. And the spirit of lust went into that poor kid. And he had to help her. And so he married her. Now, she paid a penalty for that. We won't go into it, but that is the way witchcraft works. That's sorcery. That's what that was. She used a potion. He chanted an evil spirit over it. He put an evil spirit over it. I won't go into the mechanisms of sorcery, but he imparted an evil spirit to it, and she gave it to him, and he drank it by subterfuge. Now, he was already lusting after her, but when he got that boy, he lost control. Okay. And so rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. What that means is that when you rebel against God's will to have your own way, now rebellion opens you to lust. Well, what is lust? Lust, according to the dictionary, is a strong desire for that which is forbidden. Lust means a deep desire for something that you don't have, that is forbidden to you. It's and so you lust after it. That's what the word means. It's a different word from desire. And when you lust after something, when you rebellion opens you into lust to desire something that is forbidden by definition. And you can be unhappy with God's call on your life. God's called you to be an intercessor. I don't want to be an intercessor. I want to be a preacher. God's called you to work as a carpenter. You don't want to be a carpenter. You want to be something else. God's called you to be a helper. You want to be the pastor. I mean, you're unhappy. And so you begin to lust after something that's forbidden to you, that God hasn't opened to you. And then you begin to try to manipulate your way in. Now, witchcraft, there are three words that are associated with witchcraft. Domination, manipulation, and domination, well, manipulation and intimidation. Men will tend to intimidate. They're larger, they have more strength, and so they will intimidate. You will get men who will manifest. I had a young man that came to see me because he had tried to choke his wife. He got into a fit of rage and tried to choke his wife. When he came to himself, he was choking his wife. His wife died. It scared him. He almost killed his wife. And his wife suggested he come get some deliverance and I'd come home. And so he came to see me. Well, he'd had a problem with anger for years, and he'd always used his anger to get his way. If he didn't get his way, he got mad. And he went into a rage. And people around him who were close to him, they went out of their way to allow him to have his way so he wouldn't get mad. Don't get him mad. He goes crazy. He'll hurt you. Got to work with him. Just, you know, get him his way. Just don't cross him. But that's witchcraft. Well, his wife crossed him and he almost killed her. And I told him, I said, this is witchcraft. I said, you've got to renounce the trying. You're going to quit. I said, first you must realize that witchcraft is a work of the flesh. Do y'all know that? Let's look at that. That's in Galatians 5. Keep your finger there and same. You'll go over to Galatians 5. And he said, it's a work of the flesh. That's the desire of the soul, is to get your own way and control. Your soul is self-willed. And so you see here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 says, the works of the flesh are evident, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery. That in other books is translated witchcraft. Hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, murder, envy, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Now, all those things are works of the flesh, but you keep on doing them, an evil spirit will come into you because they are born of witchcraft. And you open yourself to that sin, and that demon by that name will come in. And so what happened was he got outbursts of wrath and rage and anger, and he lost control because the demon, he had yielded to that demon so much. He got used to when he wanted his way, he just yielded to that demon of rage and anger, and people just backed off and gave him what he wanted. And so with him it became second nature, and he had yielded to that demon so much, that demon took over and he wasn't even aware of what happened. You say, man, you got so mad you didn't know what you were doing. Well, that's a demon. But the ruler spirit was witchcraft to dominate the people around him, to dominate his wife and family, to dominate his children and people around him. We had to cast out the spirit of witchcraft. It's a very strong spirit in that man. We bound him in the chair by the spirit. He almost tore the chair up trying to get out. And so large people will tend to intimidate. The second is manipulate. Women tend to be somewhat smaller, and they don't have the physical strength, and so they tend to manipulate to get their way. Derek Prince tells of the lady that had the migraine headaches. And if she didn't get her way, that migraine headache would manifest for 3 days. Everybody would be tiptoeing around the house. Oh, don't make any noise, mother. You will upset mother. And I tell you, boy, mother, I tell you, would make your life miserable if you made noise. And so don't get mother upset. She'll get a headache. And we'll be tiptoeing around here for 3 days. Won't have any food, nothing will happen. So mother got her way. And that is an evil spirit of witchcraft, intimidating this, manipulating this family. Now you can use a scenario over and over and over again, and an evil spirit will come in. You do that in the flesh, an evil spirit will come in. And when he comes in, he brings in his whole family. He don't just come in by himself. You know, that migraine headache doesn't just come in and bring in just that migraine headache. It brings in a little fear with it, you know. So you get the panic attack. And it brings in a little high blood pressure. And a little stomach ulcer. And a little bitterness. And for long, I mean, you're down at the doctor's guy. You're down at the local doctor. And, man, he's got you on all kind of pills. And you're spending all the money in the doctor's office. And you're broke. And the pills make you feel better. But they don't cure you. I had a friend whose wife is bipolar. Has a metabolic imbalance. She's had it for 19 years. And she is depressed or manic. And he keeps on all these, she stays on all these pills. As long as she takes the pills, she gets better. Or they are able to live together. She gets off the pills, she gets worse, he said. But she came to me about 6 months ago. I gave Frank Hammond's tape on rejection and talked to her about being double-minded and showed her how these things were affecting her life. And so she said, I've come out of all this. I said, you think you've come out of all that? Yeah, I don't have any. None of this bothers me anymore. I said, well, then you're right over here on the little finger right there. What's that? I said, deception. And strong self-will. That's where you are. And she said, well, actually, before I told her that, she said, I have a problem. That's what's that? She said, my husband. So she began to tell me how he kept his guns out, and she'd begged him to put his guns up, and he just would, just a little thing like that, because he just wouldn't put his guns in the cabinet. You know, that doesn't sound unreasonable. He ought to, got children at home, man ought to keep his guns up. But she said they got loaded guns around.
And he just, my windshield wipers on my car won't work. I've got this car, and I've tried, and I've tried. And I begged him, and I asked him to fix it. And he's saving money to buy the land up there for his mules. And he won't get me a new car, and he won't fix my car. And then she went on and told me I should use these examples of this thing with a hunting trip and so forth. And years later, she got more clothes than anybody I've ever seen. You know, she spends her share of the money, too. But they both work and got good jobs. And so she goes on, and she said, I tell you, I'm just going to shock him to his senses. I said, what you going to do? I'm going to file for divorce. I don't want a divorce, but I'm going to shock him. He said, I can't seem to get to him any other way. I'm going to file. And therefore, it'll shock him to his senses, and he'll realize that he's about to lose me, and he'll come around. I said, well, that's manipulation. I said, you're trying to manipulate your husband. You're going to lie to him by telling him that you're going to divorce him, and you're going to go down there and tell the judge a bunch of lies to get a decree of what's happening and to force your husband to do something he doesn't want to do. I said, what you need to do is pray for your husband and ask God to change him, because God's the only one that's going to change him. And your husband got a lot of problems now. But this lady, and so I said, and then she told me, I talked to her about this, and she said, I've come out of all that. And I said, you're right over here in strong self-will and deception, because what you're doing is you are deciding you're going to have your way, and you're deceived. Well, she got up and walked out. She went ahead and filed for divorce. And right now she's bringing her boyfriend over to the church for her husband to see that she can find somebody else. So still trying to beat him into submission. Anyway, I talked to the husband. The husband comes and talks to me about, we could just get her in the mental hospital and get her back on his medicine. She'd be all right. And he wants to go kidnap her and stick her in the mental hospital. I said, well, she got a court order commanding you to stay away from him. I think if you do that, you might get seated inside the jailhouse down there. And so I tried to talk to him about her being being double-minded and having demons. And he said, let me tell you something. I'm a minister, and I have fasted and prayed and commanded any demons to come out of her. And if they'd been in there, they'd have come out, because I'm a minister. I said, I see. And then he went on and told me about all the miracles that occurred and how God had healed his eye when he got acid in. And I said, that's wonderful, brother, but that doesn't help your wife. And your wife has got a problem. Well, she takes her medicine, she's all right. I said, she's been taking medicine 19 years, and she's worse now than she was when she started. He said, I'm an expert on this. I've lived with this for 19 years. So what are you coming asking me all these questions for? You don't want to hear what I got to say. I said, you know, you're wasting my time and yours because you're not listening to me. What you want me to do? He got him walked out. Now we got two strong, self-willed people. Beats one of them is always trying to dominate the other. Both of them using witchcraft. He uses sorcery by sticking her in the mental hospital and putting her on medicine and always threatening to put her back in the hospital and put her on more pills. And she's going to divorce him. And they're both trying to use witchcraft on one another. And I feel very sorry for him every night. And ask God to touch him. Because, you know, God is the only person. How many of you people in here are deceived? As usual, there's not a hand in a hand, the place goes up. Because I tell you, if you're deceived, then if you know you're deceived, you're not deceived. Deceived means that you believe a lie and you don't know it. That's what it means. It means that you have believed a lie and you don't know it. If you know it, you're not deceived. And they're both deceived, and only God can remove deception. And so witchcraft. And so you get unhappy with your mate. Unhappy with your circumstances, unhappy with your children, your job, or your action, and you begin to try to intimidate people or to manipulate people so that you can dominate this situation and change it. That's rebellion. Stubbornness is when you're so stubborn that nobody can tell you anything. Next is, not right now, Brother Martin. So you open yourself to lust. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. So when you get unhappy with those things, and you get in rebellion, you open yourself to lust. Now, The lust of the eye is pornography, and that's everywhere. And jealousy comes in. You open yourself to the flesh, lust of the flesh, that's overeating, fornication, and the desire for things. A lot of folks think just things are going to please them. And so your witchcraft brings about this. Your rebellion and your witchcraft opens you to lust. And so the side effects are you can become overweight or you can become an alcoholic. The lady who is trying to manipulate her husband and she's angry with him because he won't give her her way. And she becomes rebellious and she can't manipulate him. Now, if she's of the upper social set, one of these churches that approves of the sipping saints, she will make a trip over to the bar and she will pour a martini for herself and she will become an alcoholic. She will go into bondage to alcoholism and she will become an alcoholic. If she goes to a full gospel church where it is improper for her to go to the bar, she'll go just a little bit further into the kitchen and open the refrigerator or the cookie jar, and she'll overeat. And she will have a problem with overeating from the lust of the eye, from rebellion, from witchcraft. Or else, she will go to the store and get out the plastic card, and she will buy things that she don't need. And you look at her clothes closet, and there it is full. Or you go out there and you look at the tool shed. And man, he got ever manufactured. Well, when did you ever, half of them still in the case, never been taken out because he got no use for them. But man, he's got the latest screwdriver, electric screwdrivers, and latest electric drills, and all these fine cases of mechanics tools. And he's got saws, and he's got this, and he's got that, and he's got everything ever made. That's the lust of the eye from rebellion, being unhappy with God's provision for you. Or the pride of life will come in. Pride, get power, wealth, social position can come in as a result of rebellion, witchcraft. Now, an interesting thing about rebellion, it comes from the word Marah. You remember the pool at Marah? On the third day, into the Sinai, the Israelites came to a little pool. Pool at Marah. And the water was so bitter they couldn't drink it. And Moses put the tree in the pool and the pool became sweet. It was called the pool of bitterness. Rebellion and Marah come from the same root. Matter of fact, the word that's translated rebellion can be translated bitter. Same root. And I say this to you. If you stay bitter long enough, you'll get rebellious. And if you're rebellious long enough, you'll get bitter. Bitterness will come in. That bitter spirit, that root of bitterness will come in and defile you. It'll grow down into your liver. And you become envious and jealous and bitter. Now, I tell you, some of the hardest people I've ever had to deal with were little old ladies in the church who'd been hurt in the past. And they did. They said all the proper things, and they did all the proper things, but they were bitter. And that bitterness, them came out and defiled everybody around them. And they had arthritis, and they had a critical spirit. They could criticize, and they knew just the right thing to say, when to say it. And the one thing you didn't want to do was cross them. You don't want to cross that little old lady. You left her alone. And pastors, that's the dread of a pastor coming in is to find several bitter little old ladies in his church. Because they've been there for 25 years. They said, I was him when that sucker came, and I'll be him when he leaves. And he ain't going to run me out of my church. And I'll show him. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Witchcraft. Make you bitter. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, how do you get free from witchcraft?
There's a lot more to it than that, but that's all I'm going to cover today. I mean, they're professional witches. There's witchcraft in the church. I could talk all day on just the aspects of witchcraft, of charismatic witchcraft in the church. And there are professional witches that cause problems. But I want to talk about witchcraft as it affects our families today and affects you. Another type of witchcraft is the witchcraft to try to control your children. There's the witchcraft you encounter when you go to the store. I had a friend who sold more pianos than anybody in Kansas. And he went to school to learn how to do this. And it was called positive thought control salesmanship. And they taught him how to project his mind. And somebody, you'd come in that place, sit down and look at a piano, and he'd just sit down and begin to talk to you and write out a sales contract. And he'd talk to you, and he'd visualize you and project this image into you and sit there and talk to you and lay that contract down and roll that fountain pen over across the thing, and you'd pick it up and sign it. And you'd walk out of there and have bought a piano and have no reason in the world why you bought that piano. But you done signed a contract to Uncle Slewy's finance company, who will break your leg and it's all paid. And it's delivered to your house. And you say, what did I buy that for? I don't even play the piano. But you got it. And you got the contract to pay it for the next 5 years. He sold 300 pianos a year. That's almost one a day. One a trip to Europe every year. I took him through deliverance. He got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. Took him through deliverance. He vomited up blood. As we broke the power of greed, witchcraft. He couldn't sell $5 bills for a dollar on the street corner after we cast all them demons out of him. I mean, they fired him. He wouldn't use witchcraft anymore. They fired him. So God gave him a job. He was an excellent musician, and God gave him a job as a piano tuner, and he makes a very good living as a piano tuner. And repairing pianos. And he and his family are very happy today. But that witchcraft wrought a great deal of problems within his family before that. But that's because of positive pressure. That was, he went to school to learn how to project his thoughts by witchcraft. And I've gone in, you go into a place, you sit down, and they start filling out the sales contract and with this positive thing. Now, how do you... I went to look at a vehicle. I want to look at a Suburban. I just wanted to know if they made one that had... I had some aspect. I was looking at a GMC, and I want to look at the Suburban and see if they made it with a certain way. And I got in, and they wouldn't answer my question until they filled out that paperwork. And he said, well, now, how do you want your Suburban title? And what's your address? He's filling stuff out. And I said, look, put your paper down, son. Answer my question. I can't talk to you about it. I get this done. I said, well, then you ain't going to talk to me. Because I could feel the oppression settling over me as he was talking to me. I said, look, I'm not interested in that. If I want to buy one, you got plenty of time to fill out the paperwork. But just answer my questions. Well, he wouldn't answer me, and I got him walked out. I said, bye. Bye! He was young. He wasn't real smooth. He was just learning how. A smoother salesman would have smoothed that over and gone ahead and answered part of my questions and kept me talking and filled it out. But this young kid, he just wasn't quite polished yet, that's all. But I could feel that thing settling down over me. You go in and you feel some sort of oppression settling over you. And they begin asking you questions and then imposing your will to get this done, and then you think, oh, what is going on here? And you back up. Say, in the name of Jesus, I reject all of this. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I reject all this. I reject this spirit of witchcraft. You don't have to yell it out. You can just say it under your breath. In the name of Jesus. You can sort of mutter it. It has to hit the sound waves, though. The devil can't read your mind. You can't come against it in your mind. The devil can't read your mind. Now, I've had people tell me that they set their mind against this demon in somebody, and it left. And I guess the Holy Spirit could honor that if he so desired, because he's the one that does the delivering. But I can't find any place in the Bible where Jesus did that, and he is my pattern. I just can't find any place in the Bible that Jesus did that. Jesus rebuked them. I went through and I read all of them, and he rebuked them. And he bound them, and he cast them out. But he rebuked them. And the angel said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you." And so how do you get free? Well, first, you got to repent. You got to confess your sin to God. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then you got to repent and turn away. Now, 2 Corinthians 10:7 says, "Godly sorrow produces repentance to salvation, not to be regretted, but sorrow of the world produces death." And so you confess your sin, and then you repent and say, "God, give me the spirit of repentance that I might turn from this." And then you break the curse. You know, witchcraft brings a curse on your life. It says that, you know, it says if you break the law of God, that the curse goes for 4 generations. You curse yourself, your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren. It passes down. I can quote you that in 20 places out of the Bible. But Jesus was made a curse for you that you might be delivered from that. Galatians 3:13 says, let's look at that. It says, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it's written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree,' that the blessings of Abraham might come on the heathen in Christ Jesus, that they might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." So, Jesus was made a curse for you. Now, some people will tell you that that's automatic. And once you get saved, all the curses on the law that ever happened to your family are automatically broken. That's what they say. And I look at them and I say, well, that's wonderful. That is wonderful. But there are lots of other promises made, too. And I generally turn them over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, it says that though he was rich, yet he became poor, that through his riches he might take our poverty. It's in 2 Corinthians 8:9. "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was poor, yet for our sakes, though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that through his poverty we might become rich." I said, the Word of God says that Jesus took our poverty so we might be rich, and therefore we all ought to be rich then if it's automatic. And we all ought to be saved too, because Jesus took our sin. Therefore, you know, he died for the whole world, and the whole world ain't saved until they accept him, and he died that we might be healed. By his stripes we're all healed, but we ain't healed unless we claim it. And you don't get the curse broken unless you claim it. There were a number of exchanges made at the cross. They all have to be claimed. None of them are automatic. And so then you need to clean your house. What do you mean clean your house? Well, let's look at Deuteronomy 7. The abominations now. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 25. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 25. "You shall burn the carved images of their gods with fire. You shall not covet the gold or silver that is on them, nor take it for yourselves, lest you be snared for it, for it's an abomination to the Lord your God. Nor shall you bring an abomination into your house, lest you be doomed to destruction like it, but you shall utterly detest it and abhor it, for it's an accursed thing." It says if you bring one of these accursed things into your house, you become an accursed thing like it, doomed to destruction. Now, you need to get these witchcraft objects out of your house. Well, what kind of witchcraft objects are we talking about?
We're talking about little things like, you know, a little Buddha. You know, you got this cute little Buddha, got a little diamond in right there in his navel, you know, that looks so cute. You got it on your key ring? Can you get rid of that? Well, I go sell it. I paid $200 for it. No, you don't sell it. You get to Brother Glenn, he got a hole in the ground over there. He goes, drops it in. Well, he throws it in the river up here where it's 85 feet deep. Puts it in a little plastic, puts a rock in there, and just drops it. Irma tells a story about the people who were in Vietnam, and they bought this beautiful jade Buddha, and they paid $2,500 for it. And they had it in their house. And every night, their child would wake up screaming and say, there it is, it's. And he screamed, and then they couldn't see anything. And Irma said, the demon is coming out of that Buddha at night and bothering your child. Well, they said, we'll take it down and sell it. No, you're going to give that demon to somebody else. So they decided to move it out in the garage. And they got it out of the garage, and it didn't bother the child anymore. But then they didn't know what to do with it. What did they ever do with it? Remember, they buried it or something. They finally broke it up. Okay. But you need to get rid of foreign gods. And you need to go through... And you look at all the primitive art from the third world. Almost all that stuff is dedicated to Hindu gods, to heathen gods. And most of them are idols. And you lump them all in one big pot and burn them up. You get rid of them. I used to have a 20-gallon drum in my backyard with a grate in it. And I'd build a fire in it and throw all these things. People would bring them in. I said we'd burn them up. We'd have a burning party. And one day they brought in some witchcraft stuff. And I threw it there and the flame shot up 50 feet in the air. And the people next door said, Doc, no, what's wrong? We need to call a fire department. I said, no, we just have a little cookout. We put too much stuff on the fire. It'll die down in a minute, I hope. It's all right. Don't call the fire department. I'm serious. I mean, that flame. Woo! We threw this stuff in there. We had a bunch of voodoo dolls. You know, little dolls stick pins in? Y'all seen those? They're cute little things, you know. They're just little cute little things. You can hang up. They just look so cute. Huh? Hey, voodoo dolls, you just stick pins in them. You stick a pin in, you know. You want them to have a headache, you stick a pin in their head. You know. Okay. And so you go through and you get all the art from the third world and all these statues. And you go through and you get all the books that are dedicated, that you get all your books about Christian scientists and Mormonism and reincarnation and all those things. And you get them out of there.
And the Shinto temples out of your fishbowl.
Yes, Shinto temples out of your fishbowls. And you just walk through your house and you pray in the Holy Ghost. And God will show you what you need to get rid of. And sometimes, you know, it might even be that stuffed fish up on the wall. That might be an idol to you. You know, anything can be an idol. God will show you what he wants out of there. And you get rid of all of it. You don't worry about the cost of it. The people in Ephesus burned all their scrolls. And the cost was 50,000 pieces of silver. That's a fifth piece of silver is a day's wage. And you figure a day's wage now at $40. I mean, you're talking about $2 million they burned up. I burned up about $5,000 one day. I had this huge library on the occult. I thought surely that, you know, I should read and understand it. And so I had this huge library on it. And one day God convicted me that I shouldn't have that stuff there. And I gathered that, and I gathered up all my objects of art from Hayti and my Hayti drum that had been brought back from a trip and a number of other stuff, and gathered them up and put them all in a tractor and hauled them down next to the river and put them in the, and built this big fire, carried a half a quart of wood down in, 5 gallons of gas, and started this huge fire, and I was throwing stuff on it, you know. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning, and my neighbor came down. He said, Doc, what's going on? It's all right, Elmo, just burned some trash. I'm about to call the fire department. It's all right, all right. You drunk? No, I'm fine, Elmer. Go back to bed. We're just burning trash. 2 o'clock in the morning, that's the only time I got time. He said, can I help you? No, go back to bed. And when my son came home, I had burned up all of his mythology books. He had a degree in Latin and Greek mythology. He minored in Latin and Greek mythology. He had all this money. Man, it didn't look good to me, boy. They went on the pile. Anything that didn't look good went in the pile. I gave him a check, $2,500. That's how much I burned up. I didn't know what it was worth. He told me what it was worth, and I paid him. Said I didn't have, and the truth was I did not have a right to burn his books.
That's right.
I didn't have a right to burn his stuff. But I tell you, I went through the house with a fine-tooth comb that day. God had witnessed to me, and we had some manifestations, and God said, clean the house, and I decided we were going to clean everything that I thought even remotely resembled a problem. And God honored it. God honors honesty. So I cleaned the house, and we took authority over the demons, and we ran them out. One thing, though, that had a cute little thing there, little package set in plastic. It was given to my wife by a sweet little old lady who was a cleaning lady, and she ironed for it. I didn't know she was a practicing witch. And I said, what is this? And she said, Mrs. gave that to me and told me not to ever take it out of the house, to always keep it here. So what is it? And it looks sort of funny to me. And she said, well, I don't know. She just gave it to me one day, and I just sort of put it in the desk and forgot about it. She said it was a gift. It was a special good luck charm. I cut that bugger open and looked at it, you know. It had a bunch of hair, and had a bunch of, it had some hair, and it had some, a piece of dried up orange. It had some other stuff in there, and I recognized what it was. It went on the fire, too. It was an anchor. It was an anchor. So I called Brother Williams to talk to him about that one, and Brother Williams and I got together, and we bound the demons in that woman. And she called the next day and said, I went to my prayer partner, and she said that you'd called a witch and put a curse on me and bound my power. I said, no, Ms. Watsinger, greater is he who is in me and who is in you. And I said, I called two Christians, we bound. She said, I'm a Christian. I said, God bless you. I just bless you, lady. Just bless you. Bless you. I don't want to ever hear from you again. Well, I heard from her several ways. Praise God, I think she's gone on to her reward now, whoever that is. But I receive messages from her occasionally by the demonic world. She never forgot me.
Didn't she say that it blessed her money?
Oh, yeah.
Put it under it or something?
Yeah. She used to put her money in her, and if I put her money under this thing from Hayti, she said she always won it at bingo. She was addicted to bingo, and she'd play 15 cards at once. I don't know how anybody could play that many, but she'd play 15 cards at once, and she told my wife, said, have doctor put it under that. And I looked at that thing and I thought, And my wife told me that. She told me that the day that we were burning everything. I said, well, I guess he'd ought to go. She said, yeah, Miss. She said, poor Mrs. Washinger, that's what she always has me put your money under. Her money. She said, when you do that, she always wins at bingo. I said, into the pile it went, man, right quick. But I tell you, you need to clean your house.
Amen.
You need to clean your house and you need to take authority over those demons and drive them out. And you need to repent and turn away. You need people. I read something to you here that I try to have rule my life, and I think it would be wise if you did too. It's in Philippians. I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your graciousness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. That's him. Let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. That word guard there means to garrison as with an army. And then finally, brethren, whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, good report, praiseworthy, meditate on these things. I tell you, people, when you praise God for your situation and thank Him, and you thank Him, and you thank Him, and you praise Him for where you are, and thank Him, and let your prayers come to Him with thanksgiving. And if you can think of other people, what they need, and ways to help other people, and quit worrying about your own self, God will take care of you. He will take care of you. Witchcraft is when you are unhappy with your situation and what God has provided for you, and you're going to manipulate it and make it better yourself by intimidating other people. There's nothing wrong with good hard work. Now, God says those that don't work shan't eat. He believes in hard, honest work, but He believes that you should not try to intimidate and take advantage and manipulate other people to get ahead or to get your way. But if you can be grateful and thankful to God and bless Him and praise Him and let your prayers be known with thanksgiving and praise, the peace of God will settle down upon you and rejoice with Him. I say to you, rejoice. Hallelujah. And that's all I'm going to talk about witchcraft today. I can talk about, as I said, I would. And we talk about witchcraft in the church. We can talk about witchcraft, professional witches and all of that. But I want to talk about the part that touches your life. And what touches your life is being rebellious and unhappy and trying to manipulate and control others to get ahead. That is witchcraft. And it will open you to lust. It will open you to lust. That can be to sexual lust. That can be for envy and desire for things you don't need. Can be open you to lust to alcohol and drugs, open you to lust of overeating, let fear and anxiety into your life and make you sick and kill you. The end result of Satan, his end purpose, is to kill you as slowly and as painfully as possible. He hates you. He hates you. He is unmitigatedly evil. There is no redeeming feature in him. And he hates you. And Jesus Christ came that He might destroy or bind the works of the devil. That word destroy means bind the works of the devil. He came that He might destroy the works of the devil and loose you from it. That was the reason He was manifested, to set you free. And today we're going to talk to Jesus about setting you free from witchcraft. Hallelujah. Y'all all stand up and let's praise Him a little bit. Praise Your Lord Jesus. Praise Your name, Lord. Praise You and bless You and glorify You, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we praise You and we bless You and we glorify You, Lord. We give thanks to You, Lord, for Your great glory. Glory to You, Lord God. Praise You and bless You and glorify You, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we praise Your holy name. Just praise You and bless You and glorify You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise You, Lord Jesus. Praise You and bless You and glorify You, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, we praise Your name. Thank You, Lord God. Hallelujah. Follow me in a prayer, people. Lord Jesus, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, was manifested in the flesh, died on the cross for my sin, was resurrected from the dead for my justification, ascended into heaven, sits on the right hand of the Father,
to ever make intercession for me.
Jesus Christ is my Redeemer kinsman. God is my Father. Jesus is my big brother. I'm a member of the family of God. I'll never be rejected again. Thank you, Lord Jesus. My citizenship is in heaven. I'm an ambassador of the Most High God. I am in this world, but not of this world. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name. Let's all, you all sit down now. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I believe that we should always make a confession of the gospel. That is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, I confess that in the past I've committed sin. I have sought advice and power from other sources. I confess this is sin, and I ask forgiveness for the blood of Jesus Christ. I renounce the occult. And I renounce witchcraft and divination in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. I confess the sins of my fathers. I ask forgiveness for their sins and my sins. And I ask that the curses be broken on me and my children forever under the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, set me free. I renounce any familiar spirits that have come down through my family line. Any mantle of authority of an ungodly source that has come down and been assigned to my family line. I reject it. I don't want it in my life. I command it to leave in the name of Jesus. I bind all witchcraft spirits, all spirits of divination, all spirits of sorcery that have come down through my family line. I bind them and command them to be gone in the name of Jesus. For it is written, Joel 2:32, anyone calls upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Lord Jesus, I forgive anyone who's ever hurt me, who's ever abused me, who's ever used me, in the name of Jesus. I break any ungodly soul ties to anyone who's ever dominated me or controlled me in any way contrary to the will of God. I release them to you and call back my soul. I release any foreign soul from me. And I break these ties and call them out of me in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name. Praise you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, in the name of Jesus, I stand here. And I bind the spirits of rejection and witchcraft and rebellion and witchcraft in the name of Jesus. These are not rejected children. These are children of God. I bind all spirits of rejection in the name of Jesus Christ. These are not rejected children. These are children of God. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the
forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace. They've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I bind all spirits of rejection that will try to come into them in the name of Jesus. I bind all spirits of rebellion and witchcraft in the name of Jesus. Jezebel, I bind you and I break your authority in the name of Jesus. Jezebel, I break your authority in the name of Jesus. I say, come out of God's people in the name of Jesus. All witchcraft, all rebellion in the name of Jesus. All stubbornness in the name of Jesus. All stubbornness and iniquity and idolatry, come out. All stubborn self-will in the name of Jesus, come out. Come out. I bind you in Jesus' name. All lust, lust of the eye, and the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. I bind you in the name of Jesus. All spirits of fear. Fear of not being loved. Fear of not being wanted. Fear of not being good enough. I bind you and I break your authority. And I say, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. All spirits of fear. All spirits of anxiety. All spirits of panic attack. Come out in the name of Jesus. I bind you and I break your authority. Panic attacks. Come out. Come out, fear. Come out, panic attacks. Come out, anxiety in the name of Jesus Christ. For the love of the Lord Jesus Christ does drive out all fear, for fear has torment. I bind all spirits of torment in the name of Jesus. I bind all haughty spirits, all spirits of pride and haughtiness and boastfulness in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. All haughty spirits, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind all spirits of accusation and self-accusation in the name of Jesus. All accusing spirits, come out in the name of Jesus. All spirits of jealousy and envy, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind all spirits of jealousy and envy, witchcraft spirits, jealousy and envy and desire for things and desire for money, desire for sex. I break your authority in the name of Jesus. I say, leave God's people now. Go! Go in the name of Jesus Christ! Go in the name of Jesus! Go! 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 Leave God's people! Come on out! 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 Out in the name of Jesus! All of you! Out in the name of Jesus! All witchcraft! Come out now! Come on out! All lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh and desire for things in the name of Jesus! Come out! Come out in the name of Jesus! All desire for power and money and prestige! Come out in the name of Jesus Christ! Come out, all spirits of manipulation and intimidation, I bind you and command you to go. All spirits of perfection, perfectionism in the name of Jesus, come out. Anger, rage, and murder, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Anger, rage, and murder, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of bondage, bondage to sex, bondage to money, bondage to drugs, come out in the name of Jesus. Sorcery, come out. We bind all of you and command you to leave in the name of Jesus Christ. Go! Go in the name of Jesus. Go! Go! All you witchcraft spirits, go now. All spirits of manipulation. Manipulation of mates. Manipulation of children. Manipulation of employees. Come out! Come out! Come out! Manipulation spirits, come out! Come out! Underhanded spirits. Gossiping spirits. Tail-bearing spirits. Come out! 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 All critical spirits, spirit of being critical in the name of Jesus Christ, criticizing spirits, come out. Arrogant spirits, boasting spirits, Pharisee spirits, come out in the name of Jesus. All of you be gone. Be gone, Pharisee spirits. Come out. Legalism, come out. Spirits of legalism. All legalistic spirits, come out. Come out. Come out, self-righteous spirits, spirits of self-righteousness, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All arrogant spirits, boasting spirits, lying spirits, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Tail-bearing spirits, come out in the name of Jesus. Go, go, go. Be gone in the name of Jesus, every one of you. Go. We bind you in the name of Jesus Christ and command you to be gone. Go.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.